Galatians chapter 6, if you would stand with me, and we'll read a verse. Again, from the Apostle Paul. A good example to live. Paul even said this. He said, I am your ensample. That word ensample means example. Ensample. He said, I am your ensample. You ever want to know how to do something? Well, you need to look at someone that's done it and see what kind of a Christian example they were. Find a good one. Find one that you really believe that is giving their life to please the Lord. Not trying to seek self-glorification, but looking at magnifying the Savior. Amen. Galatians chapter 6, verse 17, the Bible said, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. From henceforth, New Year's resolution. That'd be a good one, wouldn't it, Brother Darnell? Wow. Let no man trouble. Don't worry about what people think. If I go to church 3 times a week, they're going to think I'm a fanatic. Now, I told you what a fanatic was the other day. Anybody that'll sit in a sideways blowing blizzard with their shirt off with the word Michigan written across their chest, cheering for people that they don't even know, on a field that you can't even see the white lines out there, that's a fanatic. That's a fanatic. Say, would you watch that? No. No. I want to see if they get close to getting the first down every time. If the field's white, who knows? Umpires don't even know. Referees don't even know. He said, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. In my body, Paul said, there's marks. And these marks are all about Him. We're living in an hour. It used to bother me. I didn't want to do this. But I believe people don't mind you doing this. I think they kind of want you to do this. But we're living in the tattoo time. So I say the tattoo tower. The tattoo time. You say, is that wrong, Brother Edward? Depends on which book in the Bible you're reading. Oh, did I say book in the Bible? Well, I guess that clarified that. But if you haven't ever read the Bible, but in Exodus it does say not to put any kind of marks on your body. Leviticus 19, not to put any marks on your body or cuttings for the dead. But that makes the church get quiet. Because we're living in the tattoo time. What would y'all think if I come in here one day and had one ripped across the side of my neck right there? I see people doing it. I'm not going to say they couldn't put one on me right there. But I believe I still got enough wiggle in me. If they did it, you couldn't make out what it said. But if they'd have to hold me down, it'd be like writing on a chalkboard during an earthquake or something like that. Amen. I ain't talking about them kind of marks. I'm talking about marks that Paul received as a Christian.
of a Christian. I want to preach, if I can, the marks of a Christian. The marks of a Christian. Father, I pray you'd help me. God, I sure do need you. Lord, please. Please. Give us the words you'd have us to say. Give us the words you'd have us to say. And help your children with it. Well, if there's somebody here needing help tonight, I pray you'd help them. I do pray. I pray you'd help them. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Let me clarify something. The reason that so many people, and listen, you might have, but Garnett, you might have a tattoo. I don't know. And if you got one, I don't really care. I don't care. It's wrong if you got one, and it's wrong if you don't have one, according to the Scripture. But I'm just going to say this. If you don't have one, don't waste your money. If you do have one, I've seen people that they couldn't have paid to park on the side of the road in them quarter dispenser parking things and have $500 worth of tattoos on them. Y'all seen them. If you got one, you know it's something you shouldn't have done. Just don't do it anymore. You know? Just say, Lord, I'm sorry, and move on. Move on with life. I know a lot of people that they got saved. They had them. They got saved, and they said, well, I can't get them off. And I don't know if you can or not. I'm just saying sometimes, here's what happens. Here's what happens. People that know they shouldn't have are encouraged by others to do it because it's you and it's your body and can't nobody tell you what to do with your body. Am I the only one heard this kind of foolishness? Sounds like that group that we was talking about this morning that whine and cry because their daddy was so hard on them. Those recovering fundamentalists, you know. And my daddy made me go to church. Daddy wanted to whip me if I act like I didn't want to go, and if I cried, he wanted to whip me for that. But did that help you? You better believe it. You better believe it. Every older person that I know will admit, if you're an older person in here tonight, you will admit you did not get enough discipline. Because you did things that mom and daddy did not find out about. And all the older people want to say, boy, that's right, them young people. I'm talking to the older people. The marks of a Christian. The marks of a Christian. There are some things that identifies me and identifies you as a Christian. I just want to look at just a few, and you might want to go get that Whopper we was talking about a while ago. I'm not going to. I found out I'm taking more pills every day than I thought I ever would take, and every one of them is because of all the stuff I like to eat. Every one of them. Amen. I'm spending more money on fruit now. I feel like a monkey. I'm eating so many bananas and apples and pears and peels. I don't need a piece of meat. I feel like Adam in the garden. That's all I have is fruit. The marks of a Christian. The marks of a Christian. I want you to notice the first mark. The first true mark of a Christian. I want to encourage you now. I want to encourage you for this year. Coming up. The true marks of a conversion. The mark of a conversion. There had to be a conversion take place in your life. Listen, look up here just for a second. Just for a second. I can see you already out there on left field. You watching that third baseman. He's fixing to catch the ball and you're going to throw somebody. I'm trying to tell you tonight, the marks of a, it's not church membership. It is not church membership. It is not baptism. That's not the mark of a Christian, of a conversion. It's not the fact that your mama and daddy went to church sometime. Thank God if they did. Hopefully they went to church, took us to church, and in that doing all of that, when they got you there, the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart, and you got saved. What a blessing that'd be, amen? But what if there was somebody here tonight that has never... Hey, what if there's some... Hey, mom and daddy, let me ask you this here. Have you ever looked at your children and wondered by some of the ways that they act if they was really saved? Have you ever wondered by the way they carried on if they were really saved? Well, can I say this? If you don't bring them to church, chances are real good, they're not going to get with God. That's why it's so important, Brother Matt, for us to have our children here, Brother Darnell, to have our families here for not just our children and our family, but for us, the strength that I need. I need church. I need preaching. I need to hear Brother Caleb get up here and sing. I need testimony. I need to be around where God's at and where God's moving and where God's working and where the Spirit of the Lord is. There's liberty. Amen. I want to be around that. I'm talking about the marks of a Christian. Back over here in 2 Timothy chapter number 1 and verse number 12. The Bible says, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. There's a day coming, hear me now, there's a day coming whenever we're going to stand before the Lord. It's not going to be like walking through line going to Walmart and a greeter standing there saying, welcome to heaven. Welcome to heaven. Welcome to heaven. Oh, are you leaving? Can I see your receipt? I heard a good explanation for that, Mother Tracy, the other day. One of our cousins had a thing on there, and he said somebody was walking out of Walmart and said that he heard the woman say, sir, and he didn't pay no mind. And she said, sir. He said, I just took my receipt and held it up in the air and kept walking. He said, I figure if they can trust me enough to check my own self out, they better trust me enough to walk out the door in honesty. I wish somebody say amen right there. Don't you get that? You see how quick that thing run in front of me like that? I mean, there it went. Now listen, I'm talking about a mark of a conversion. There should be a mark in my life, in your life, in our life, that one day we got saved by the good grace of God. Amen. Amen. You say, but people know that I'm saved. They know I'm a Christian. Do they really? Do they really? Do they know it by the way you talk? Do they know it by the things you say? Do they know it by the places that you go to? The jokes that you laugh at? The things that you hear? The people that you hang around? You know what I found out? I found out that all Christians don't hang around Christians. Well, they got a lot of fellowship out there. I'm wondering, why you hang around them? Bring them to church. I understand that. We got to win souls. The Bible said, he that wins souls is wise. And so we look at this and we think, man, they know that I am. Okay, well, let me ask this here. Do you know about any presidents we've had? Sure you do. You know who the first president was. You know who the last president, I'm hoping it's the last one. I'm hoping Jesus comes and we don't have to see another one, don't you? Amen. And I know who the president was before him. And the president was before him. And the president was before him. All the way back in my life to Dwight Eisenhower, I know who the president was. Amen. I remember the day John F. Kennedy got assassinated. I can remember the, but I did not know one of them. I knew their names, but I did not know them. I met a lot of preachers that I know that I have met in passing, and some of them were so kind and gracious, and some of them were just mean as a bulldog. I don't know no other way to say it. I'm thinking, my prayer was this here, Brother Daniel. Lord, please help me not to be like one of them. I don't want to be mean and hateful. Amen. I want to love sinners. And let me explain something about loving sinners does not mean that you can promote them in their sin.
Amen.
Listen, if your children, you just got young children, I'm scared to death for you. I'm scared for you. With the world that was out there when I was a young person, the powerful draw that was on us, what is it like out there today? I cannot imagine getting in a classroom of the modern day that we live in right now and hearing the conversation. I bet they just probably, this is guessing, I'm just guessing. I wouldn't be surprised if they just don't cuss out openly in the classroom. And the teacher too. And I can remember when I was in school, you know what you got in trouble for? Chewing gum. Brother Leroy, I couldn't tell many people I've seen sneak out of school. They sneak out of school, go across the road to Robert Connor's gas station, and buy chewing gum, and come back, and get in trouble because they had chewing gum on them at school. Can you believe that? Y'all can't believe that, can you? Chewing gum, I'm thinking nowadays, they were sitting in the back of the class, smoking a joint, everything. I mean, that's how we live then right now. Y'all don't want to admit that, but y'all know I'm telling the truth. If we don't bring our kids to church every service, and get them grounded, get them indoctrinated, they're going to walk out of here one day and they ain't going to have nothing but a mark of the world on them. All them kids that's fussing and fighting and ganging up and cheating and lying and stealing and cutting and shooting. I'm talking about the school still. You know what they're doing? Brother Tracy, they're taking these church kids that are faithful to church. And they're doing everything they can to lie to them and send them home with bitterness and hatred and anger and take that mark of a Christian away from them and walk up to the mom and the mom will say something. She'll say, what? In the hour I live, look, Kevin, help me right here. In the hour, that would be like signing your own suicide note. Could you imagine? It bothers me to think about it. What my daddy would have done. A lot of people says, and when my mama told me, you think my mama would have waited till my daddy got home? Huh? I've got a big hum going on right here, huh? But she'd have cut her a limb from somewhere if it had to be off an oak tree. I'm telling you, so she'd have beat the bark off of you, boy. I'm just, you got that look on your face right now. I know that right there get you too. I'm on your side. I'm talking about the marks of a Christian, not of the world. Not of the world. We don't need their marks. I don't need scars all over my face. All over my body because I got drunk and got in a big fight and got cut up. I don't need all that stuff. But Tim, that's not something. I've told this before, but I'm telling you, I had a preacher friend. He had three boys. And boy, I'm telling you all the time, boy, he would talk about his past in front of them boys and what he did and how he partied and had a good time and laughed, and then he got saved, but he still talked about all that stuff. And I told him one time, I don't know if you want to call this a rebuke. If you do, so be it. I told him, I said, you better quit talking about your past like you do in front of them boys. Did I say three of them? All three of them. You know what I hate? I hate knowing Brother Dan. That I hate knowing. But I keep forgetting Brother Danny. I'll back up here. I'm okay. I keep forgetting about getting up there too close. And you know what scares me, Brother Caleb, is one day it's possible. I pray not. You hear me? I pray not. My prayer is you don't leave this church unless God sends you somewhere else. Does that make sense? When God sends him somewhere else, I mean in the ministry. Boy, that got quiet. I've seen too many couples leave here, military couples, got out, went home, ended up divorce. Have we seen it? Y'all seen it. Y'all been, Sister Vanessa, y'all been here long enough. We've seen it. Heartbreak Hotel. I'm telling you, they ain't nothing good. You know what happens? The marks that they had were just temporary marks. They was just little scars. Because what's out there is going to pull them down and put something on them deeper, deeper, deeper than the Christian marks they had. But thanks be unto God Himself, there is a blood from the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses deeper than the stain has gone. Bless His holy name. Well, I better get back up here in my notes. I'll be out there. Y'all don't know where I'm at. We don't know all them folk, all them preachers, but I know this. I know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. I know Him. I don't just know about Him. I know Him. Someone asked this. It was a mission leader, Brother Mel Trotter, one time. Asked him, says, how he knew he was saved. Let me ask you this. You ain't got to answer out loud. Are you saved? Well, you ain't got to answer out loud. Did I say that? Okay. I heard a bunch of amen, but that's just folks that don't mind saying it. Amen, that's good. Are you saved? Are you saved? How you know? Brother Mel Trotter said this. Someone asked him, says, how do you know you're saved? Simple reply. He said, I was there when it happened. Isn't that good? Huh? Was you there? You might have been dreaming. It might not have been real. Might have been your wife got saved and you thought it rubbed off on you. Or your husband rubbed off on you. I'm telling you, Brother Charles, I was there. I told him this morning, the 27th of this month, will be 50 years I've been saved. I was there. Brother Dan, you was there tonight I got saved. Amen. Thank the Lord. If I didn't have a day I could go back to, you might not remember the date, you might not remember the church, you might not remember the preacher, but at least if you can't remember before God that the Lord Jesus Christ forgave you of your sin, I would really check into that one. Because that's a big surgery that takes place right there. I mean, He'll cut your old soul out. Amen. Give you new life, thank God. Amen. What would you say if somebody asked you? See the marks of a conversion. Then we see the marks of a consecration. That part about being set apart. He said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You know, I told y'all I like to watch football. I really do. I do. Especially this time of year when it's the bowl games. All right. I mean, there's a lot of times teams play most of the time in college teams on homecoming time. You might well go fishing. The University of Florida is going to play Tampa Bay High School or whoever. I don't know. Athens University of Georgia They're playing Folkston. It's a setup. They're going to make sure. Y'all say amen right now. You know I'm telling you right. For their homecoming, it's a setup to make them look good. What's real upset is when they lose. But if you like football, you could have really enjoyed the day yesterday. It was all day. I've never in my almost 38 years of marriage had my wife to sit down with me all day and watch football like she did yesterday. Yeah. Now, I mean, she'd see some things once in a while, and she'd say, "What is that? What? Not a problem. That ain't a problem. That's not a burden to me for somebody to say, what are they doing?" They'd call a fair catch. Everybody run down there on them and gather up around them. She'd say, "What are they doing?" I said, "Well, he called for a fair catch, and they're going to let him just take the ball right there, and he's not promised not to run with it." That's about what it amounts to, ain't it? And she said, "Oh." Then one time they got a touchback, they went back out to the 20-yard line. She said, "What is that?" You know what? With her, and I don't hardly know nothing about football. I found out this yesterday. They had a woman referee on one of the games that I saw. I told my wife, I said, "Is that a woman?" She said, "I don't know." Because every time we start, she's walking away. And she says, "Sit there and be quiet, little Leroy. You missing my message up right there. I thought God was on you for a second. I'm sorry." I'm just kidding. I'm sitting there, and pretty quick, that woman walked over there to where the ball was and picked the ball up. I said, "That's a woman. That's a woman." I said, "If that's a man, they'll kill him for the halftime they would right there." But what I'm trying to tell you is everybody that was on a specific team had the same marks. They even wore the same colored outfits. The helmets had the same marks on the side. People on the sideline was dressed like them. You know how it is. You go to school out there, and out here when Noah was playing ball, and I'm sure probably Sister Tiffany was sitting in the stand, and she's not a cheerleader of present time on the sidelines in front of the field, but in the stand, she's probably had her blue and white pom-poms. Brother Glenn might even have had one. You had one, Brother Glenn? That means that we're doing our marriage. Man, is it good for you to know, Noah, that your grandpa was a cheerleader? I mean, is that happening? You know what? I'm glad he stood with you. I'm glad he's for you. Amen. I'm just saying there's marks. There's consecration. We've got to make up our mind. Are we going to be set apart? Are we going to be different? Am I going to be real? Is there any Christians that are in here tonight that has a desire in your heart to be real? To be real. Now that's not something that may happen overnight, but in the process of time, you know people. It might have been your parents, your grandparents, somebody somewhere along the line that was real, and you said, "I hope I can be like them." Amen. A Jewish rabbi said this one time. He said, "The Jews have rejected Christ, and the Christians have disgraced Christ." I think that's pretty profound, Brother Daniel. The Jews have rejected Christ, and the Christians have disgraced Christ. A missionary said this one time. He said, "The chief obstacle to Christianity is the rotten behavior of those who call themselves Christians. They're not consecrated. Because you come to church on Sunday morning does not mean you're sold out. But if you'll come back next Sunday, And you'll come back the next Sunday. And you come back on Sunday night. And you come back on Wednesday night. And you keep coming back. And you keep coming back. Somebody's going to say, hey, I see them there all the time. They must have a love in their heart toward our Savior. There's some consecration took place right there. Wouldn't you think? I'd like to think that. What if, let me ask you this. What if I just traveled? I just took a flight. I just got on an airplane. And where I went to, they have gotten some more modern technology in their airports. It used to be that you just walked in the airport, went through the line, showed them your, my little, what do you call that thing? Passport. Yeah, my passport. I don't even know what I got to keep up with when I go anywhere anymore. And show them your passport and the pictures on there, and they say, okay, stamp it, and you're gone. Now, in these other countries, they've got one of these machines. You step in it. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You know what they see whenever you step in there and that thing goes shoop, shoop. You know what they see? Everything they want to. You say that, that ain't nice. I'm telling you the truth. I went and two times this has happened to me. One time was took a flight, I think it was when we went to Portugal, and I went and I didn't want to take my wallet out of my pocket because I'm thinking, how do I know that whenever it goes through that little inspection thing, somebody ain't in there? Thank you. Say that again, please. There ain't nobody in this church. Hold on. Ain't nobody here heard what you said.
You never know.
You don't know. And I might have had $1.380 in my wallet. And so I said, I ain't taking my wallet out. Well, you walk through there, go through the line, step on the other side, and the guy walks up there with his little magic wand. This side. He says, step over here, sir. And so we talked for a little while, and then he says, come back here in this room back here, please. And I come back in that room, and he gets alcohol swabs and all this stuff and wipes my hands down and everything. And he's checking us out, checking me out. He's checking y'all out. Y'all out there just having a good time in Jesus' name. I'm in there biting bullets. See, man, I don't know if I'm going to go to jail or what. And he says, and finally he says, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. And they said, okay, what do you do? I said, I preach. What? That's what I thought, Brother Ross. And pretty quick, they get more interrogations going on. They come back out. And they said, well, you had something. This has not been real long past 9/11. They said, you got something on your hands, some kind of foreign material. And that's the reason we're checking you out. I said, you want me to explain that? Yeah. I said, okay. I said, we went to Portugal. At night, when it cooled off, it felt like it was 110 degrees. I said, sir, literally, I was so hot. I was sweating so bad. I broke out up under my arms. I'm telling you God's truth. Am I right? And I put medicine on me to try to get this rash to go away. They said, hang on right there. We're going to go get somebody else. They went and got somebody else and come back in there. And he was I don't know what he was. I guess he was like the preacher of the group. He says, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher. Okay. And he just laughed about it, you know, and everything. And he blowed it off. There was marks that stood out. And it got us called to the side. And as a Christian, you'll have marks because of your faithful, consecrated life. It'll set you apart. Now, you can't just go to church on Sunday and act like on Monday that you was at Jack's Liquors or whatever the name of the clubs are now. You can't hang around them people that's guzzling liquor. You can't hang around them and then tell somebody or them, if the Holy Spirit was to convict you, and say, tell them about me. You can't hang around out there with that crowd and expect God to bless you and use you. What greater thrill, Brother Darnell, is it to know that God wants to use us? To use us. I'm talking about living a consecrated, set apart, dedicated. I'm in this for Him. I'm in this for Him. I want to be a good Christian husband. Because, sir, there are going to be some days that your wife's going to say, I don't feel like going. And you're just going to have to say in a lovely tone, like Jesus would have said, I know, but for the kids' sake, we need to go. You know how I know that? Because I've heard that from right there. I used to get off work at 6. I'd get off work at 6:20 at night in Jacksonville and have to drive all the way back to Callahan. And I'm telling you, I'd be filthy. Noah, I'd be so dirty from my knees, my steel-toed shoes are shining. I mean, my neck, just filthy. And I'd come home, Brother Leroy. I would get home. I'd get home by 7 o'clock. And I think then we were starting at 7 or 7:30. And to know that I just got home, I don't have time to clean up, and I got to grab them up and come to church. And Brother Tyler, several times I said, I don't feel like going tonight. I'm tired. And she said, but for the kids. I needed that. You need that. You need that. I know there's times you're tired. I know that. I know you, but Kevin, I know you work hard somewhere throughout the day. Not the government, but I'm somewhere out throughout the day. He's done told me what he done. I ain't casting stones at him. I love him. I love him. He's my friend. I got electrical work we need to get done. Okay. And anyway, for the kids. Because the enemy's after her. It's up to y'all whether you're going to turn her over to him. It's up to y'all. Sister Samantha, it's up to you whether you're going to turn him over. Between now and 17 and 18, it ain't going to be nothing but a major fight. And all I can recommend for you, maybe a good-sized pot. Bradley, beat that hairline up there to a high and tight. Hey, man, whatever you've got. Woo! You will be victorious. Child left to himself. A child left to himself. Child left to himself will bring his mother shame. A deaf man was asked one time, he says, and when I say a deaf man was asked, we know that sign language is available, so don't come up to me after church and say, I thought you said he's a deaf man. Somebody asked him something and he answered. How about we say like a deaf man was approached by sign language one time. He says, how is it that you come to every service and you don't hear a word the preacher says, you don't hear one note of the songs that's been sung. How is that? Why is that? He said, I just want people to know which side I'm on. I'm on this side. I'm on this side. I'm on this side. You say, y'all say, you crazy though. Well, y'all in here too. Amen. I know I'm crazy. I know I am. Listen, I got family telling me that, okay? But I'm on this side. I'm on this side. This is the side. But I'm on. I want you to notice this. We see the marks of conversion and a consecration, but what about conviction? Conviction. You know, when we talk about conviction, I'm talking about the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about conviction. The first thing people think about is, have you been convicted about what you've been doing? But there's more to it than that. Brother Dan, there's more to it than me being convicted about what I did the other night. If I was to say, maybe it's real easy for you to maybe slip out for a special night, husbands and wives, and it's your anniversary and y'all ain't had a drink in a long time, and a little wine will probably just kind of relax y'all. Well, I do know that that happens. Because we went out one night. And we walked up on some folk. I said, Lord, why did it have to be us? Have you ever seen something you wish you hadn't seen? I said, Lord, why did it have to make me be there for you to convict them? Oh, I'm telling you, you talk about embarrassed. That individual was so embarrassed. He didn't know what to say. We walked up, and there was nice, pretty glasses, round and flat, rounded, you know, and about full with some kind of look like blackberry wine. I don't know how to identify it by sight or smell or taste. Clarify that. And when we walked up there, me and my wife and another couple, and they saw us, you'd have thought I was Moses and he was Elijah. Don't you think it ain't happened? There might be somebody here done it. If you ain't done it, you will be tempted to do it. Because that's just a small, simple sin that is so accepted in the hour we live in. You know what that boisterous of a man did in honor and respect to his wife? Knowing they just got busted. Is that a good word? Would you say they just got busted? I'd say, busted! Wish I'd have thought about it. Wish I'd have thought about it right there in the middle of that restaurant. I'd have hollered, busted! You know what he did? What a man. What a defender. You know what he did? He jumped up out of his seat and said, I've got a good bathroom. That ain't no lie. And we had done gone and sat down in our seat before we ever seen him again. And they never come by and told us that. Busted. Be sure. Your sin will find you out in the middle of a restaurant. Now, that part's not in the Bible, so don't get nervous about that. I'm just saying. The devil will tell you it's all good, but it won't be funny when you get busted. Man, be horrible. Be hurtful. Conviction. It's not always of doing wrong. Sometimes the Lord just wants you to do something different in your life. Maybe it is take on another missionary. Maybe it is. Maybe it is just being kind. Maybe it's something real simple. Maybe it's just going down to Dollar General and buying a 50-cent card and just writing in that card to one of your fellow church members that you know that's been going through a storm. And say, you know, I just want you to know that I watch you and you're a blessing to me and I appreciate you. And maybe slip a little, just a $5. You know? If you feel like the Lord wanted you to do something, I'll go as far as to help you right here. Now, you don't try to con me. It's hard to con a con, okay? Okay. I ain't always been a Christian. I'll be listening to you.
But if you want to do something real nice for somebody, you say, Brother David, I don't have $5. I don't have $10. And I'd like to just do something because that person's such a sweet blessing to me. Come see me. Come see me. I didn't say come see Sister Mary. I said come see me. Just to be gracious. Just to be sweet. Just to be. I'm talking about the Lord just speaking to your heart saying, why don't you just tell somebody you love them? And if you don't love nobody, why don't you ask the Lord to speak to your heart and tell Him, ask Him, say, Lord, would you give me the same kind of love that you have? Because John said, this we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. This preacher, I'll leave you right here. This preacher one time walked up on a young boy, had a little cage. And in that cage, he just had some little wild birds he caught. And them little wild birds didn't mean nothing and had absolutely no value, no monetary value. And that preacher asked him, he said, son, he said, what would you take for them birds? He said, well, he said, these birds, you probably wouldn't want them because they can't sing. He said, they're not singing birds. They're just little wild birds I've caught. He said, what will you take for the birds and the cage that they're in? He said, would you take a couple of dollars? He said, sure. He said, but they can't sing. He said, it's okay. He said, so he gave the kid a couple of dollars and he took the cage and he walked out and he opened the door and turned them birds loose and said, you just watch them birds just fly away and you just could hear them chirping. Then he went back to church the following Sunday morning, and he's telling about what happened, and he had that empty cage. And he said, you know, he said, the young man told me they could not sing. He said, he told me that they couldn't carry a tune. He said, but I'll tell you what, he said, after I bought them, he said, when I set them free, he said, it looked like they was headed toward heaven singing redeemed. Redeemed, redeemed. And the greatest day of my life, and the greatest day of your life. I'm telling you, I wasn't even thinking, Brother Dan, I wasn't thinking about God putting no marks on me on that day. I just wanted to be redeemed. I just wanted to be set free. I just wanted to be saved by the good grace of God. The greatest day of my life. And since then, you know what He's done? He's put some marks on me. And I'm thankful. I ain't mad about them. I ain't mad about them. And I hope you're not mad about the ones He's put on you. They're there for His. They're there for His glory. They're there to magnify the Lord. Do it. Let's just do it. This year, this new year, here we go into it. Let's just do it. Let's give Him the glory. Don't try to hide them marks. Don't try to cover them up. Let the world see what the Lord Jesus has done for you and give Him the glory. Amen. Let's all stand together. Amen. Amen. Brother Caleb, how about